me chapter 9. Chapter 9? Divi- no, chapter 10. Text number 9. Canto 3, chapter 10, text number 10 and 11. 10 is a question, 11 is the beginning of the answer. Brahma has, in the verses we covered yesterday, Brahma has begun the process of creation, and where we ended is he created all the 14 planetary divisions for inhabitation by the different types of living entities. Brahma entered into the world of the lotus, and as it, the world of the lotus, spread all over the universe, he divided into 3, then 14 divisions. So the planets, and the forms of life were in their seedling stage or prototype stage or the dormant stage, they were there and he just filled it in. So then, text 10, Vidura inquired from Maitreya, O my Lord, O greatly learned sage, kindly describe eternal time, which is another form of the Supreme Lord, the wonderful actor. What are the symptoms of that eternal time? Please describe them to us in detail. Us is himself. Purport. The complete universe is a manifestation of various, of varieties of entities, beginning from the atoms up to the gigantic universe itself, and all is under the control of the Supreme Lord in this form of Kala or eternal time. The controlling time has different dimensions in relation to particular physical embodiments. There is a time for atomic dissolution and a time for the universal dissolution. There is a time for the annihilation of the body of the human being, and there is a time for the annihilation of the universal body. Also, growth, development, and resultant actions, reactions for actions, karma, all depend on the time factor. Vidura wanted to know in detail the different physical manifestations and their times of annihilation. Prabhupada is translated in the verse Kala as eternal time, because time is eternal. But eternal time has its representation as not eternal time, or the appearance of different divisions of time. Which relates back to the topic yesterday, all that bimba pratibimba thing. I just you at the end asked a question. Can we say that this is svangsa and divinamsa? I minimized that application because there are other applications. One that's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita is Radharani and Lakshmis and the queens. So there's Radharani and Lakshmi, Lakshmis plural, and the queens plural. Bimba, Pratibimba. And Radharani. So, super soul, the jiva soul, but then there's different applications. So it's the essence, it is reflection and reflection of a reflection. And here now there's time, and there's greater circles of time and smaller circles of time down to the smallest circles of time. More detail that will be discussed in another part of this third canto. But here is text 11, Maitreya starting his extensive answer, because the chapter title is Divisions of Creation. So time in its relationship with universe and the planets and the beings that inhabit planets and the atoms, you know, and there's different divisions of time. So, text 11. Eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature that we know from creation. The glance, living entities, and time. When Pradhan is contacted by the living entities and time, the modes differentiate. Not that they're not there, they just differentiate. Until then, they're in Pradhan state, undifferentiated, as are the elements undifferentiated. Eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. It, that's time, is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in material creation. It works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in material creation. If you remember from previous verses, it was rasa and lila language, where Brahma is praying to Lord Vishnu about his lila and his rasa of creation. Prabhupada was contrasting the rasa of rasa dance for Krishna and Vrindavan, and Vishnu, his rasa and lila is creation. But again, the language is being used. Upadan is a word that's used here also. Purushas tad upadanam. Upadan, there's nimitta maya and upadan maya, discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nimitta, we know, instrumental cause. Here, Prabhupada is, another is the ingredient cause. Here, Prabhupada has translated upadan as instrument. Time apparently acts like that. It is an instrument. It stirs the soup. It stirs the dormant modes of nature and the dormant state of the Prakriti until a differentiated state of Prakriti for the purpose of creation. So, and it's in the category of our Lord's Lila. Eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pastimes in material creation. And an amazing purport by Srila Prabhupada. The impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Lord. It is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. So these are two different terms. Instrument and ingredient. Nimitta and upadana. Here it's the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. No one knows where time began and where it ends. And it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. This time factor is the material cause of creation. And is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. There's like these one-liners that are heavy. Time is the material cause, because that's a it's particular in a technical way with Vedic language, you know, remote cause, material cause, instrumental cause. So the material cause supplies ingredients. So ingredient cause and material cause, but Krishna is not material. Krishna is spiritual, and time is Krishna. But Krishna is also the material cause. Krishna, and as time, or as his time energy, Kala Shakti. Anyway, time, this time factor is the material cause of creation. And is therefore a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. There's another, that's the first paragraph. Connecting with the first sentence, the impersonal time factor is the background of the material manifestation as the instrument of the Supreme Lord. I'm reading this paragraph again. It is the ingredient of assistance offered to material nature. Beginningless, where it began, where it ends, no one knows. And it is time only which can keep a record of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material manifestation. The time factor is the material cause of creation. And it's, and therefore, a self-expansion of the personality of Godhead. Time is considered the impersonal feature of the Lord. Paragraph. The time factor is also explained by modern men in various ways. Some accept it almost as it is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, Hebrew literature. In Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. It is therefore stated, quoting Hebrew scripture, God, who at sundry times, it's like from time to time, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake, Old English, spoke, in time past unto the fathers of the prophets. Unquote. Metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed, change, and life of a particular object. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. Time is the basic measurement of activity, of the activity of our senses, by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. Chanakya Pandit says that even a slight fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars, and therefore even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in life. Time is not subject to any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. Beginning of that sentence is, time is not subject to any form of psychology, but they are dependent on particular psychologies, on particular experiences. Okay, and the last paragraph. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami concludes that the time factor is intermixed with the activities, dash, actions and reactions, of the external energy of the Lord. Intermixed with the eternal energy, or material nature, works under the superintendence of the time factor, as the Lord Himself. And that is why material nature appears to have produced so many wonderful things in the cosmic manifestation. Bhagavad Gita 9.10 confirms this conclusion as follows. Maya dyakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hi tunani nukamteya yagadvi parivartate. End of purport. Time is one of the five principal subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, although it's the one that's spoken the least about, and it's quite mysterious. Time is eternal, and time as we know it is conspicuous by its absence in the spiritual realm. Doesn't mean there isn't time. It means time is eternal and it's experienced as eternal time. Here, time is experienced as Prabhupada writes here, not by any form of psychology, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves, but they are dependent on particular experiences. So, what this purport is doing, it's setting statement after statement after statement of principles without expanding those principles, because there's volumes and volumes of expansion from those principles. But there's a relationship, an unavoidable relationship between time and creation, because that's the subject, divisions of creation, Brahma must work with time. That's the personality of Godhead's representation in this material realm. And it's using different language, it's like a stirring rod. That which is dormant, inactive, becomes active. Just like commonly the description is, without the touch of spirit, matter doesn't move. What to speak of a machine, let's say here's a computer. The computer doesn't move without a computer operator. So without the touch of spirit, there's a car, and the car doesn't move without machine doesn't move, and material energy is a machine that doesn't move without the touch of spirit. But then there's the Supreme Spirit. And the Supreme Spirit, in his expansion as time, is also required, along with the individual soul, because without time, you don't have events. You don't have activities. And then, in the material realm, there's reactions for those activities. Like I discussed at the Boston Temple, that this idea that Narada is describing to King Puchinibari, the impressions that are stored from a previous body within the subtle body, and the impression is stored, and we can call it a desire, because later on that impression, by the time energy, goes from the dormant state to the active state by the influence of time, and thus arises a thought, and with the thought a desire. Thinking, feeling, willing action. It pushes, it propels the next actions. If one contemplates on a prompt, the prompt that becomes then a desire. I like, I don't like, I want, I don't want, it doesn't suit me, it suits me, and you know, how we regard that prompt. Prabhupada discusses, a devotee was asking Prabhupada, I'm looking around and I'm seeing things, and am I to conclude it's not real? And Prabhupada didn't give a no answer, it's not real, but he just explained it. He said it's like a dream. So is a dream real? Then when we're asleep, the day is not real, and it's awake, the dream is not real. You can dream, oh, there's a tiger, and there's no tiger. You can feel fear, but there's no tiger. So during the daytime, there's a tiger, and you can feel fear, but there's no, you know, as far as eternal time is concerned, it's a creation of an event which you experience through the influence of time that's continuing some why a tiger and why not a pussycat, or why not, you know, a cartoon, or why not something else? There is a tiger. It's due to the previous impressions. It's now forming as a reaction to your previous actions. But it's but a dream. As the day is forgotten when you're asleep, and when it's day you forget the night dream, when you're Krishna conscious, or when enlightened soul, it's all a dream. It's Maya. It appears to be real, but it's not. And the agent, one of the requisite agents for that to happen is time. The influence of time is needed for creation, or as time is needed for Maya, or time is needed for us to do things. And the closer one gets to the Krishna conscious conclusion, besides all this technology, is use time in Krishna service. That brings us closer and closer and closer and closer to eternal time, the past time of Krishna's internal potency, as opposed to the past time of material creation and involvement in fruitive activities. How we regard time, how we regard moments, how we regard life, how we regard Krishna. That's the Krishna conscious application. But then, you know, how does the other system work? Because it's a science in both ways. There's a spiritual science of how matter works, and there's a spiritual science of how the internal potency works. To understand the internal potency, especially because we're under the influence of the external potency, how does it work? And it's not necessarily you have to be a scientist, a material scientist in the right sense, like you just know about creation and you're Krishna conscious, but the proper regard for how do events happen? Like unpack, dismantle the illusion. And you're going to see what Maitreya is describing. I'm going to have to excuse myself for just a moment. In addition to presenting Vedic strong statements to understand time, curiously Prabhupada brings in other references, the Hebrew literature reference. I'd like to ask somebody that knows something about Hebrew literature to give this reference, but I'll read it again. The time factor is also explained by modern men in various ways. Some accept it almost as it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, Hebrew literature. In Hebrew literature, time is accepted in the same spirit as a representation of God. Representation of God. It is stated therein, quote, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. I don't get how that's saying that time is a representation of God. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Anyway. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. It sounds like the prophets were instruments or representatives of God, and God spoke to the fathers by the agency of the prophets. And from time to time, in different manners, that's a method that he used. But in any case, Prabhupada's statement here is seeing time as a representation of God is sometimes accepted in modern literature, modern scripture. Metaphysically, and very uncommon to see Prabhupada use that word, metaphysically, time is distinguished as absolute and real. So, distinguishing matter from spirit, time is in the category of spirit, because it's not, time is not, time is not temporal. Time is not, now you see it, now you don't. It comes to being and goes out of being. Time is not like that. Time is in another category, in other words. That's absolute and real. Absolute time is continuous and is unaffected by the speed or slowness of material things. While it's not affected by the speed of or slowness of material things, it influences, if not determines, the speed or slowness of material things. At least it influences, let's say, how fast you drive your car and how much time you can cover this distance to that distance. That's how you, how fast you're going. So there's a calculation of, just like in the calculation of time by the atom chapter, one, whatever the smallest division is calculated by the movement of the sun across one atom. And then so many of those makes another unit, and so many of those makes another unit. So that was the statement previously, text 10, in the purport. There's a time for all things. The controlling time has different dimensions in relation to particular physical embodiments, a time for atomic dissolution, a time for universal dissolution, a time for annihilation of the body of the human being. And there's a time for the annihilation of the universal body, and then in between, you know, time for annihilation of a mosquito, and time for annihilation of whatever might live along a tree, live longer than a human being. Time there is a time for each of these things. So time sets events. Time sets reactions to previous events. Time is needed for growth, development, and resultant actions. Just like a child. A gestation time, and then a time for this thing, that thing, until they get a little taller, and then something, time for walking, a time for talking, and a time for, there's a time, there's the clock, there's the, but this is, it's needed for creation, and it's needed for the events once creation takes place. It's needed for dissolution. So creation, maintenance, and dissolution, time is needed. It's experienced differently according to the different, using the language Prabhupada has here, different physical manifestations. It acts differently upon different physical manifestations. But it's eternal. But it acts as if it's not eternal. It acts in a relative, non-absolute manner. At least apparently so. In order to have illusion, you have to have it. Apparently so. Time is astronomically and mathematically calculated in relation to the speed change in life of a particular object. Factually, however, time has nothing to do with the relativities of things. Rather, everything is shaped and calculated in terms of the facility offered by time. It's like this is a purport to read several hundred times, and what does this mean? How does this apply? It's packed. Time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses, by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. There's this connection with the object, the reflection of the object, and reflection of the reflection of the object. Brahma enters into the stem. Within the stem, which then starts to expand, there are these, he's used the word seedling or seed-like or not yet manifest, but the form is there. Like I was describing yesterday, Prabhupada's statement, there's no question of extinction of species because the form is already there. Where did the species come from? Brahma took the seedling or the prototype, and with time as the material cause acted to take that dormant prototype combined with the modes of nature and the elements themselves, and out comes a dinosaur or whatever comes out, whatever this prototype is. And then circumstances make it appropriate for that to come out, and circumstances, and then they disappear. And the circumstances can be like, you know, the environmentalists are so concerned about extinction of species, but it's, you know, how people, you know, the guna and the karma, living entities, riding around hunting wild buffalo or riding around and, you know, killing whatever they kill, and then it's no longer, the species is going to go extinct. But then human beings, you know, their population may be reduced because of their guna and karma, and then those other species can manifest. So from where do they come? That's the, you know, where does it all come from? So Brahma has a role to play in making it come, making it manifest. So at the end of the day of Brahma, the partial devastation from Swargaloka, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, and down, destroyed. So he has to take the seedling or take the prototype and, using time, bringing the material elements to bear, make things manifest. So the question that Vidura is asking Maitreya, who's this everything is within his heart person, you know, please describe it in detail. How does the time energy work with what Brahma does to bring about creation? At least, you know, this is our basic explanation of how it all begins, or how it reoccurs again in cyclical fashion. Time and the role of time in all of that is the topic. Hare Krishna.
I was curious about that statement about time as psychology.
Do I hear it again?
Yeah, I didn't quite understand.
I don't know if I quite understand any of this, but I'll read the sentence again. Let me read the sentence before it, so we'll get the context. It's at the end of the paragraph. So, sentence before it is, time is the basic measurement of the activity of our senses, by which we calculate past, present, and future. But in factual calculation, time has no beginning and no end. Chanakya Pandit says that even a slightest fraction of time cannot be purchased with millions of dollars, and therefore even a moment of time lost without profit must be calculated as the greatest loss in life. Time is not subject to any form of psychology. Time is eternal. My psychology, I'm a mosquito. My psychology is, and so I'm observing time in a certain way, and then, you know, I'm a person, the mosquito is trying to bite. And for me, time is according to my psychology. Time slapped the mosquito. And time isn't subject. Time is absolute. Although, according to psychology, we see time in a different way. Time is not subject to our psychology. Nor are the moments of objective realities, nor are the moments objective realities in themselves. The time it takes for the sun to pass over an atom, or the time that it takes for anything, the gestation period of a child in the womb, the duration of the life of a human being, the duration of life of a tree, the duration of life of a demigod, and, you know, different whatever periods of time, the duration of something, those durations of time or moments are not objective realities in themselves, which is related to time is not subject to a particular psychology. Time is absolute. Time is absolute. But they are dependent on particular experiences. Those moments are dependent upon particular experiences. So in other words, it appears to be reality. Here we are. Time. You know, it's Friday morning at 7:56 a.m. And here we are. And you know, like this devotee on this morning walk said, Prabhupada, we're walking in a park, and is this reality? It's like an interesting question. Because I'm seeing it. And then Prabhupada's immediate answer was, and when you're asleep, do you see it? Or is it like a dream? And when... The sense of a measurement of time, whether it's a moment or a bunch of moments or 1 hour or 8 o'clock or whatever, the sense of time is dependent upon particular experiences. That perception of time, that unit of time, is dependent upon our experience. Like the previous, the time is the basic measurement of the activities of our senses by which we calculate past, present, and future. So the micro sense of time is different than me. It's their whole lifetime is whatever it is, a day or whatever it is, some hours or something smaller than that. That's their lifetime. That's their, from their sense perception, past, present, and future. Although it's the same unit of time that's passing, for me it looks different, etc. So it's dependent upon our particular experiences, but time isn't confined by that. There are different ways of way of looking, so time is relative, in other words. But actually time is not relative, time is absolute. Because that's the question. Please describe absolute time as it pertains to what Brahma is doing, creating. So that the message right here in the purport is, it's don't make the mistake of thinking time is relative, it's absolute. Here's my Maitreya's verse again. Eternal time is the primeval source, primordial, before creation, time exists, it is eternal. And it's eternal time is the primeval source of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. It is unchangeable and limitless, and it works as an instrument of the Supreme Personality God for his pastimes. Nidlaya Asrajat, the pastimes of creation. His pastimes in material creation. It's a deep subject. Anything else? Yes?
I'm curious to know, there is a connection between free will and time.
Between which and time?
Free will and time. Like, for example, when any transformation will take place, there is some time required only because of our attachments. But then, when we make proper choices, free will choices, we see a moment...
We experience time differently.
Yes. So...
Yes, there's a relation. At the same time, you know, it is also correct to say, I may have a free will that says, I want to be a millionaire, or I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, and I may have to have a qualification to be a millionaire or go to Goloka Vrindavan. Just because I'm willing it. So the willing needs some additional qualification. I wish to be as brilliant as Einstein. Here's an example, just Prabhupada is hearing, the last couple of days Prabhupada gave, the difference between the brain of a dog and the brain of Einstein. When the soul of Einstein is gone, and you analyze the brain of the dog is gone, you analyze the brain of the dog, it's the same substance. So it's the soul within. Then he gave an example, supposing someone has I'm good at typing, and I have an electronic typewriter, and I'm typing, and someone doesn't have that skill, they have a manual typewriter, and you know, just metal, there's no electronics involved. It's the same activity, but because of the qualification, I have this one. But supposing someone that doesn't have the qualification has this one, they can't use it. You could have the brain of Einstein without the qualification of the soul. So there's multiple factors, in other words. So free will is a factor, it's not the only factor. In relation to how we experience time. I can just experience frustration and then time seems like really long. Yeah. Although my free will says, I want to be Krishna conscious or something. Adhikara is also required. Yeah.
I was trying to understand how time acts like on devotees and like, you know, person that is in between no devotion and, you know, pure devotion. So like there's always so many things to do.
Sure.
So is it that material energy keeping busy, or is it really...
Could you say that first part a little slower? Is it that what?
Like how to understand it, is Krishna keeping busy or material energy keeping busy?
Speak it slower. Speak a little slower. My hearing is, I'm half deaf. Consider I'm an old man about to speak slowly.
How to understand that it's Krishna keeping us busy, or it's Krishna's material energy that's just keeping us busy?
Well, it could be either one, or sometimes one and sometimes the other. To be busy in Krishna's service is good. To be just busy is, and thinking that's Krishna's service, that's not as good. And it can it can vacillate. It depends upon, just like chanting japa. You can chant japa attentively, you can just chant japa. You can chant really fast. Chant your japa very quickly, and you can chant your japa very quickly and be very attentive. It's the consciousness behind rather than the external measure. So how do you know whether it's this one or that one is your question. And it's a matter of consciousness. And it's something. The question is something like, how do we know when we're sincere? And Prabhupada's answer is, you know when you're sincere. Because you know what sincerity is, and you know what the other is. So there's some, and there's, it's not there yet. We know we're not there yet. And we waver between, because we're unsteady, between more this direction and more that direction. And it's not just a measure of being busy that says, now I'm Krishna conscious. One can be lazy intelligent and be very Krishna conscious. One can be active intelligent and be Krishna conscious. As the circumstance calls for, or as one's nature is. Commonly a Brahmana, Prabhupada would characterize like this, a Brahmana is lazy intelligent. He's not running around doing, but he knows, and he can give guidance to those that are running around doing. But as circumstance require, the Brahmana, or at least a Vaishnava, may be very active. But not active foolish, but active intelligent, and is perfectly, perfectly content to be in a contemplative mood, and so forth.
So, what's the best way to manage one's time?
Can you be a little more specific than that? Use your time always in Krishna service. And there are various ways to use your time in Krishna service. Some time for this and some time for that. Using your time in Krishna service. The frenzy of running from one thing to another is not a good characterization of the best use of one's time. And then go to the other end. So you just, there's a time for each thing, and you're the best utilization of time is you're fully present with each thing that you're doing. And then each thing that you're doing may require a different approach to how you apply yourself. And that's best time management, some time for different things. And then in the span of life, like an obvious one is motherhood requires a certain delegation of time. No question about it. And what about later? Well, the delegation of time is going to be a little different. But it's not optional when, a child is newly born, and there's no question about it. Well, I don't want to No, I want to do this one. I don't want to. That's not proper use of time. And if it just stays in that same mode after the child is mature, that's not the best use of time. So it's circumstance specific. In the course of events of life, you can gauge the proper use of time in a different way. But in all circumstances, be present. Fully present as much as you can. When you're chanting, you're fully present. It's as much as you can. Circumstance and all, you know, personal limitation considered. Yes?
A couple of thoughts. One is that the relationship between the glance, Mahavishnu, and time, are they the same? That because glance is also stirring the pradhan to manifest the...
I don't know if that what you just said is correct. At least what the description that I'm familiar with is the glance is Shambhu, and the glance carries time. It's not that they're identical. Carry on.
And then that clarified that.
Okay.
I was thinking about the relationship between Advaita Acharya and then Sadashiva. Okay.
Next one.
You made the statement that in the spiritual world, the time is experienced as eternal time. I just wanted to understand. Does that mean that there is no clear distinction between past, present, and future?
It's not as we know. Time is, as we know, is conspicuous by its absence. But there's events. And for events that we know, you have to have past, present, and future. But what are events where there's no past, present, and future, as we know? It's another kind of time. That's all you can say. It's eternal time. That's the positive. Well, what's that? Well, it's not this, but it's events that are eternal.
Another thought that was coming to my mind was when you were describing that anecdote where Prabhupada was asked this question, is this reality? We also hear about the promise of the Jagat Mithya, that it's not unreal, it is temporary. And likewise, like it is the first verse of the first canto, it also points to the fact that everything is unreal, but in the third book, Srila Prabhupada also clarified that it's temporary, but
So
sometimes it is compared to dream to drive home the point that things are not real, it is under the realm of Maya.
You know, it's something, but it's not what it appears to be. It's Krishna's energy. That's what it is. But it's not what it appears to be. That's what Maya means. It's not non-existent. It's not zero or false. It's not what it appears to be. Next. Done? Okay.